God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Well, the Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. Anyone can use the chat function to send their phone number to the newcomer privately. Looking for hands raised? Nope, not seeing any. Okay, I will read the preamble. The AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contribution. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. It does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing steps 5, 6, and 7. Please welcome our panel this evening. We have Tara from York, Pennsylvania, and Paul from our very own Norfolk. I will read the first paragraph, and I will put the reading up on the screen, and then the panel will share for a few minutes on each of the readings. All right, steps 5, 6, and 7. Step 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character. And 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Section 1, page 72, having made our personal inventory, what shall we do about it? We have been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and to discover the obstacles in our path. We have admitted certain defects. We have ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is. We have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. Now these are about to be cast out. This requires action on our part, which, when completed, will mean we have admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our defect. This brings us to the fifth step in the program of recovery mentioned in the preceding chapter. This is perhaps difficult, especially discussing our defects with another person. We think we have done well enough in admitting these things to ourselves. There is doubt about that. In actual practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal insufficient. Many of us thought it necessary to go much further. We will be more reconciled to discussing ourselves with another person when we see good reasons why we should do so. The best reason first. If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We think the reason is they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory all right, but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves, but they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story. And I appear to have lost my Zoom window. Tara and Paul, which of you would like to go first?
I've agreed to go first. We're okay. Going to do that. Hey, everybody. My name is Paul, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for asking me to share tonight. I just love being with this group, and I can tell I haven't been here for a while because I showed up at the church. That was my fault. Nobody was there. It's pretty dark, but I called David. He helped me. Anyways, man, so step 5, dude. I was thinking about this today. I don't think I had been anything but very cash register honest my entire life, certainly with myself. From a really, really, really young age, I remember just lying about the dumbest stuff. I would lie about having like a certain entertainment system, but it was at my dad's house. My parents were divorced and we could play it, but I had to get straight A's and we all knew that wasn't going to happen. And so like I was weaving all of these lies and telling all these stories because I've always felt less than, right? And one of the things that I loved about drinking was I didn't care about what you thought about me. And so, you know, when I took that first drink and I got drunk the first time, I melted, man. I felt right. And so when I drank all the fun out of drinking and I put it down and going nuts and eventually asked somebody to be my sponsor and he was walking me through the steps, it was explained to me that, you know, step 4 and 5 is really about getting honest with yourself. It's seeing the truth of your actions, but it's also just seeing for real the truth of yourself, man. Like, I didn't know it. I guess somewhere deep down, I kind of knew about what was going on, but there were a couple things about that 4-step that really blew my mind that I didn't realize until I got them on paper and shared them with my sponsor. And it mostly had to do with that 4th column. We did our 4-step right out of the book. So the 4th column where I was looking at my part in these resentments, there was one in particular with my father that he's one of us, man. And he is very, very untreated. And he is just deep in his situation. But I had always blamed him for everything. And I was just holding on to this resentment. I couldn't see my part in it. And it wasn't until I wrote down on that 4th column that my part was, I was using that as an excuse to drink recklessly. I was always speaking ill of him. I was always running him down to anybody that would listen to me because he's such a loser, blah, blah, blah. So I didn't have anything to do with that resentment, but I was perpetuating it. I didn't know that until I got it on paper and shared that with my sponsor and he pointed it out to me. There's other stuff that was going on too. Like, you know, if you had asked me what I was afraid of, I'd say, I don't know, maybe not having enough money when I retire, but that's really it. Maybe snakes as well. That's pretty much it. But when I did that fear inventory, I was shocked, dude. I had pages of fears. I was afraid of everything. And I had no idea about any of that until I had done that step. So, you know, for me, after I dragged my feet for like 8 months to actually do the 4-step, when I actually got that stuff on paper, I was ready to get rid of it. Like, I was just so excited to just talk about myself because that's like my favorite subject. But I was also ready to just get rid of this stuff because I've been looking at it for so long and just thinking about what I was going to get on this paper. So, you know, when we were talking about the 5th step, I asked my sponsor, we met real early in the morning, I gave him everything. And it was interesting because he was really bored. Like, he was like just genuinely bored with what I had to say. I thought I was just a really bad person. Like, I was going to give him this stuff and he was going to probably either never talk to me again or just really judge the crap out of me. But that's not what happened. He was like, okay, is that it? I was like, what do you mean? Is that it, dude? I just told you all the dirty, nasty gunk of my soul. And he was just thoroughly unimpressed. And, you know, after I got over my feelings and wasn't offended anymore, I realized that the reason is because I'm just like him. He was telling me throughout this whole process how he's like, man, I did the same thing. I'm the same person. I'm this and I'm that. And so what that really did for me was it stopped, you know, Paul's not a unicorn anymore. I can't run around the world thinking that I'm special because I'm just a garden variety drunk. Like, I'm just a guy who happens to be an alcoholic. I'm nothing special. But I had thought and built up in my mind for all these years that you guys didn't understand and nobody would get it. And I'm just so sensitive and nobody really gets like what I'm going through. And it was kind of embarrassing, if I'm being honest with you, to hear like, you're not that special, man. You're just a dude. Like, can we move on? But it was very, 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 it endeared me to this program because I knew I belonged. I couldn't identify out anymore because I had, there's just something about the 4th and 5th step that really just, it shows you who you really are. And I had never seen it because I didn't care to look. And I had bought my own BS for so long that I desperately needed this step to shine a light on that stuff. And that's what I got for that favorite.
Thanks, Paul. All right, Tara.
Hi, my name is Tara and I am an alcoholic. So what I brought to you when I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous was somebody that was beat down, beat up, and thought nothing of myself because I had been carrying around so much, so much. I was so beaten down. And I had just came from a house that I ran. Yeah, and you know what I mean by that. I was like, there's no way. You know what I mean? I've been coming in and out of the program for years, years. 10 years I've been coming in and out of program. I knew what a 5th step was. I knew what it was hitting for when I got here. You know, I knew what my sponsor was going to do because I wanted a specific sponsor I sought her out, and I thought for sure she was long gone. I mean, I was like, she's gone. I'm never going to find her. Nobody's going to be able to sponsor me. And I found her, you know. And when I did my four step, and I knew I had about a week. I knew, because she doesn't play games. You know, she said, you're either going to do it or you're not. You know, my experience has been I did it. I put pen, and that's what I did. And when I initially did the fifth, I couldn't remember doing fifth steps before. So I was like, I put all this stuff down. I'm like, yes, all these people I'm mad at. And the pen just started going, right? And I thought when we sat down, we were going to go through all these people that had wronged me. All these people that, like, all these people that did such bad, horrible things to me in these horrible situations, that's what it was going to be. And she was going to pat me on my head and be like, oh, honey, you know, and I should have known better, you know, but like, I sat down with her and we went through each column and I said, yeah, each column. And I remember there was things I was going to take to my grave. You know, there were things I was not going to tell anybody, even her. And I trusted her implicitly, you know, because I had been working with her on and off for the last 10 years, like, because she had been my sponsor for a long time on it. And she knew me. And I said, there's certain things I can't tell her, because what if, like, she's going to think horribly of me, all these horrible things that I've done, and all these horrible things that have happened, and all these people that have wronged me. You know, and we sat there and we got to my part, just like you said, Paul, the my part. And I was like, wait a minute, what do you mean my part? You know, and I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, okay, what's your part? And I'm like, well, not, you know, I thought I was justified. I didn't have a part. What do you mean? They did that to me. And she pointed it out. I was like, oh, and it hit with each one. I was like, oh. You know, and I literally went back on each one of that, you know, and finally, you know, at the end of that, she said, how do you feel? I'm not one of the members of Alcoholics Anonymous that felt lifted, that felt lighter, that I just felt the same. But I guarantee you, I slept like because I finally was left all that garbage aside. I got rid of it. And I told her everything with no regard to how she would feel about me because I wanted it gone. It had to go because I couldn't carry it around any longer because I couldn't do it anymore. I agreed to myself that I would do whatever it takes to get and stay sober. And that included step five, you know. And when I was done with that, I was... For the first time, I felt like I did the day I took a drink at age 17. Like for the first time in years, I went, and I could, and I knew maybe, just maybe this thing works. Maybe, just maybe I can get free. Maybe, just maybe, you know. I did it thoroughly. There was nothing I left. There were a couple of things that I didn't remember at the time. There was a couple of things I didn't remember. So what she said was, in case that happens, call me on the phone and we'll go through it immediately. And there were a couple of things I was like, I had just remembered. And I was like, oh no. And I was like, no, I don't want to drink. I'm on the phone. Like, so I did an honest and thorough fifth step. And like I said, for the first time in a very long time, I slept. That was the moment. That was the point to where the freedom started. Thanks for letting me.
Thank you, Tara. All right, I will put up our next reading. Section 2. More than most people, the alcoholic leads a double life. He is very much the actor. To the world, he presents his stage character. This is the one he likes his fellows to see. He wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. The inconsistency is made worse by the things he does on his spree. Coming to his senses, he is revolted at certain episodes he vaguely remembers. These memories are a nightmare. He trembles to think someone might have observed him. As fast as he can, he pushes these memories far inside himself. He hopes they will never see the light of day. He is under constant fear and tension. That makes for more drinking. All right, Paul?
Hey guys, all right, so let me just throw this out there. Tara's got like the best laugh I've ever heard in my life from a speaker. It's great. It's almost like punctuation. Oh, it was wonderful. I loved every second of that. All right, so this whole idea of a double life, I feel really attacked at this moment, if I'm being honest with you. I spent my entire life cultivating this persona that was like the ultimate chameleon that could be around anybody and do anything. And I remember since I was a little kid, man, just being deathly afraid of what people thought of me or what they thought about me, thinking about them, thinking about me, thinking about them, thinking about me, thinking about their mom or whatever. I was just so tight all the time. I mean, I was like making diamonds on the inside. There was so much pressure and I was freaking out like all the time as a kid. And I didn't know what that was. I didn't know that that was alcoholism, just kind of sitting there chilling, waiting for me to take that first drink and like let the animal out. Like, but man, all that tension, when I took that first drink, like I said earlier, that all went away. And that was friggin' magical to me, man. You want to talk about like having a spiritual experience? Be tight your entire life, worried that you're the fat kid in the room, that your hair is weird and that you smell or something, and then just immediately not care about that stuff. That's freedom, dude. And so, you know, I chased that for a long time. And it was funny because I have this really amazing ability to really compartmentalize my life, where like everybody that I've probably ever met, except for a couple of people, really, they're just like, Paul's just the nicest guy. He's just so sweet. He'll give the shirt off his back to help you. Except for the couple of people that I love in my life, who I treat like garbage and I just use and abuse. But the rest of the world, they all love him. All a great guy, but I just show a really ugly side to the people that are the closest to me. And it's interesting because, you know, what I've been really amazed at my ability to delude myself into believing the lies that I'm actively telling myself. like I know I'm not that guy, but I desperately want to be that guy. So I just sweep all this garbage under the rug and just believe that I am with all of my heart. I'm such an untruthful person that I believe it. Like, that's kind of crazy, right? But anyways, so, you know, when we're talking about that, I really, really, really relate to that. I didn't have too many huge sprees. I was more of kind of like, I'll drink by myself when everybody's out of town and nobody knows. And I'll just get like stupid drunk and then hide the bottles in somebody else's recycling. I never really like went on a tear and like ended up in another state. That sounds fun to me. Like, so when people tell those stories, I'm like, oh man, I could have done that. But I didn't really have the sprees, but I led this like really slow, snail's pace, slow burn, like just hurting people and disappointing myself and just drinking more and more and more isolation. And it was really pathetic. But as soon as I was at work, the show was on. Yes, those are my jazz hands. The show was on, and I was the guy that everybody thought I was. And that is exhausting. I mean, that's exhausting. I love what Tara was talking about that freedom of just being honest, dude. Just getting that out there and just trying to actually be who I am. I didn't realize how tired I was. I was friggin' exhausted by trying to be somebody that I never was. And one of the greatest things about AA, obviously, besides not drinking and burning my life to the ground, is being able to rebuild my life, but also to just be the person that I am and be comfortable in my own skin. And that took years, even in sobriety, to just be the guy that I'm okay with, right? Like, I don't need to be in these peaks and valleys. I just want to be okay. and anyways, that's what I'm striving for. I don't need to be somebody that you want me to be. I can just be myself. And that's a really huge freaking gift, man, because my entire life I spent feeling meh. Like, that's the general feeling I brought to the meh. Anyways, that's what I've got for that. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Paul. All right, Tara.
I really related to the point where I talked about being, because I should have had an Academy Award years ago. You know, I don't, on the outside it looked fine. Even as a kid, on the outside it looked fine. Awards, accolades, A's and B's for years and years in school. Like, I was great on the, but in the inside, I was screaming. I was screaming at the top of my lungs, I don't understand. I don't understand how you people do this. On the outside, I did it. You know, like Paul said, I was the ultimate chameleon. You know, this group and this group and this group and this group, you know. And like most of the time when I was a kid, I could only hang out with the church kids because my mother was highly, highly, highly religious, you know. And with them, I excelled. And I fit in and I was a part of on the outside. And I didn't, like, I felt not a part of me, you know. And then when I took that first, when I took that first drink at age 17, I didn't care, just like Paul said, I didn't care. I don't care if you like me. You're lucky I'm at this party. You are fortunate to be around me, you know. And it shifted. And I went for that every single time, with everything I put in me. I went for that because I wanted to feel, I wanted to feel nothing. Second of all, like I wanted that false sense of relief, you know? And when thinking back on that stuff, like it was just like it said, it used to give me chills thinking back on that type of stuff. It used to give me chills and I'd be so remorseful. And of course, in order to get rid of that, I have to get the next one to get rid of that. But then there's the cycle of me being in the next one and it's a continuous cycle. It's over and over and over again. I didn't find relief until I got here and I took it seriously. Like I said, I've been in and out of the rooms in York AA for years. And I was a chameleon then too. I acted like I was doing something. I spouted a good game. I really did, at least I thought I did. I wasn't saying nothing. <You know? laughs> but like, and then this time when I came back, I said, okay, the most spiritual word I learned is about God. Okay, you know, I don't have to be a chameleon anymore. Wow, what a feeling. I don't have to act like I fit in. I do fit in. These are my people, you know, and the freedom and the joy and the release. When I figured that out and when I was first sober, I couldn't figure that out. Like I thought I still had to be a chameleon. That mask was still on and I was still screaming on the inside. I was like, this isn't going to work. I said, okay, though. Okay. Yeah, and I kept doing it. And finally, I looked left and I looked right, and I had a community that rose up, people that truly loved me. For Tara, not the mask, not the person inside the mask, but the actual person. And for that, I'll be forever. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Tara. Section 3, when we decide who is to hear our story, we waste no time. We have a written inventory, and we are prepared for a long talk. We explain to our partner what we are about to do and why we have to do it. He should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death area. Most people approached in this way will be glad to help. They will be honored by our confidence. We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. That feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we're on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. Okay, Paul?
Well, that last couple of sentences is a really heavy sell. I'm in sales, and that's a pretty heavy close. I remember, so I already kind of talked about this when I gave everything to my sponsor, and he was very unimpressed. But I remember leaving his car that morning after I woke him up, and I remember feeling different. Like I wasn't walking hand in hand with the Creator on the broad highway to heaven or whatever, but I felt different. And I think what it was all those fears kind of scattered. It was weird, man. It was like turning the light on in a kitchen where there's a bunch of roaches and they're just like, they're, you know, they just go away. Like it was gone. And, And anyways, I felt lighter. When it talks about being able to see the world in the, look the world in the eye, I was so afraid. I was always like looking over my shoulders to see who was around. Cause you know, it's GIMP. It's a pretty small area and Harris Teeter is real small. So like you're walking around in Harris Teeter's, oh God, who's going to be around the corner. And I remember that after that, I had no secrets. Like I didn't have anything to be afraid of because whatever was there was out. And that was a new feeling to me. Right. So that, well, I was definitely lighter after that. I would just remember not being afraid anymore. And if I ran into somebody, it would be awkward as hell, but you know what? I'm not going to die. I'm not going to explode in the freezer section of Harris Teeter, getting my peas out of the cooler section while somebody's like saying hi to me. I'm not going to die. It's okay. And I remember having this feeling that it was going to be okay. This was like the real big, because I'm going to be honest with you, man. Like step one, I knew I was screwed. Easy peasy. Check that. Step two. Yeah. I'll believe that AA is bigger than me. Step three. Cool. I'll just do what AA says. Like I really made a very light going of the first three steps. You know, I did my inventory, but after I did this, after I told my sponsor everything that was going on, I actually had hope. Like I knew that it worked because my mom's been long time sober and I definitely knew I was better than my dad. Cause come on. But like, I didn't know really that AA was going to work for me because I saw a lightness in you guys that I had never felt before. You know what I mean? Like the first time I ever heard Iran laugh, I was like, is there that? There's not that much joy in the world. Like, shut up. Like nobody's that happy. That can't be a thing. Or when I saw you guys laughing after the meeting at some horrible story, you're like, yeah, and then I killed him. It's like, wait a minute. What are you guys can't be this light, right? Like your souls can't be this friggin' happy. You're not traveling through the muck. Cause I always felt like I was walking through thigh high water. Oh, man, I was trudging through life, dude. I mean, I was just slogging through it, just trying to make some headway. And it just, you guys were just running on the beach. And so after I did this step, I really did get that sense of hope that I had been oh God, I hope it's there because I really don't feel it yet. And one of the things I wanted to touch on too, Tara had already mentioned, but the importance of continuing to be honest and doing this. If something is left off in the inventory, I had one that I didn't purposely leave it off, but I had buried that bad boy real deep. I'm talking like under the rug, under the floorboards, under the house. I had buried that sucker deep down in a pit in my brain. And it didn't come to me until a couple years after I had done my fist up. And I was so ashamed of this thing. It was just such a gross, like, ugh, thing. And I was watching this show and the main character's name is Paul, which really was not okay with me. Anyways, he was very inappropriate and did the same thing that I did. And I freaked out on the inside and I like jumped up. I was like, all right, babe, I'm going to go make a phone call. It was like 11 o'clock at night. And I called my sponsor and I was like, hey man, thanks for picking up. I got to get off my chest. I left something off my fist step. I didn't mean to. I told him this horrible, nasty, deep, dark secret. And he laughed and he goes, oh, that sounds fun. And that saved my, like, I don't know what that did to me. I'm going to be overselling it with some hyperbole if I say it, but like it just, gosh, man, there's no judgment here. And I friggin' love that about AA. You guys don't care. It's just like, Paul, just get rid of it. We don't care. Who'd you kill? What did you want? We don't care. Like, just tell us what happened so that you can get it off your chest and we can move on with your life. But being able to come back to that and circle around, he didn't know it at the time, but he really showed me how to be a sponsor, how AA works, and showed me that my honesty wasn't going to be looked at with like judgment or disgust. And I really needed that at that moment. So thanks.
Thanks, Paul. All right, Tara.
Okay. So like the first part of that, I like where it says we pocket our pride and go to it. I like that them words. Go to it. Get it going. You know, I didn't sit. As a matter of fact, from what I remember, my sponsor had gotten a bit busy because she's very busy. And I had my fifth step done, my fourth step done. And I called her and said, can we do my fifth step now? You know, and she was like, whoa, okay. You know, she's like, I didn't forget about you, babe. It's just, you know, she's busy. She was busy, you know, and I went to it. And like, she knew that there was a, cause she could see it in my face. She knew there was a couple of things on there. Like I said, I was taken to the grave. No, you know, and I told, it was the last couple of things on my fifth step. And I told her and I went and I was prepared for it. I went and she goes, okay. And starts chuckling. And I'm like, what? Wait, what? I said, hold on. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, I heard you. She said, honey, like, there's nothing that you can tell me that's going to make me think less of you. That right there, I cried because I was sure this beautiful woman of Alcoholics Anonymous who has such strong sobriety accepts me. That was the turning point, you know. And then the latter part of those paragraphs are the fifth step promise. And I love all the promises, but those ring so true for me. You know, when I walked down the street in the beginning, I would hang my head low and I would look at the pavement. What I noticed after doing this is I started to look up just a little bit each and every day when I started walking down the street. I would walk down the street to hold my head up. And I noticed it one day. I was like, whoa, I'm not looking down anymore. Yeah. And in the beginning of my sobriety, I couldn't hold a job to save my life in this stone cold sober because I had an ego. You know, who do you think you're talking to? You're not talking to me that way. You know what? Forget it. I'm leaving. Today, I am an employee today. I am a sister today. You know, I am a niece today. I'm an aunt today. You know, I can hold my head high in any situation, anytime, anywhere, because I don't have to carry it anymore. I'm not carrying it around anymore. It's not a burden on me anymore. I don't have to hunch over anymore. My back doesn't hurt anymore. Imagine that. You know what I mean? Like, the feeling that the drink problem has disappeared. You know, I don't mind saying this, and it's not out of ego, I promise. I'm employed at a grocery store, and I don't recommend people doing this. You know, I say it all the time in meetings. I don't recommend people doing this early in sobriety because I couldn't have done it early in sobriety. I work in the beer cafe at a grocery store. If that's not promises ringing true, and that's just happened to be the job I happened to get. You know what I mean? They put me at a place in that store because they trust me to do that. And it's not even a thought. It's not even an inkling. It's not even, I just do my job and I go home every day. And that is, I realize it doesn't dawn on me, but every once in a great blue moon, like my anniversary is coming up. And every once in a blue moon, I'll go, whoa, look what the promises have done for me. All because I took action to it. Thanks,
Tara. Section 4, returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first 5 proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything, for we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put in the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? If we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step 6. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us be willing. Okay, Paul?
Hey guys, all right. So I'm going to be really honest with you because I've been talking about being honest the whole time. I've been through the steps a few times. I never once did the 6th and 7th steps, really. I'm going to just toss that out there. Until this last time that I recently did it, I am a good enough kind of guy. Like I'll do enough to get enough relief. And then I'm like, we're good. And then I'll move on to something. And I always saw step nine as the next logical step in Paul feeling better. So I just hopped right to it. I had a whole different experience though. I started working with another sponsor the last year, and I actually did a fourth and fifth with him. And then I actually did this. Did you guys all do it? Is this like a hidden secret of AA? You guys actually did the sixth step and sat quietly with yourself? So anyways, I did this fifth step, and then I went and I sat at the end of over by Nauticus. It's just like this place where you can sit and look over the water. And I was just sitting there looking and just kind of breathing deeply and closing my eyes and opening them every once in a while. I was just really being quiet. And I don't really do that, to be really honest. Like, I'm not a quiet person. But I sat there for an hour just praying. And I was thinking about all the things that I find objectionable about myself, honestly, like doing that. If you guys have done that, good for you. I had never done that before. So I spent 10 years in AA not doing any of this crap. But I told you I might have. I never lied, but I didn't actually tell you the truth. And anyways, a thought came to me while I was sitting there. And this, you know, how we always joke about, oh, I'm a selfish alcoholic, I'm a selfish, self-centered, blah, blah, blah. I was saying that to my wife in an argument. And I was like, well, I don't really know what you expected, because you know I'm a selfish person. She's like, yeah, I know. When is that going to change? And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, should it? Right. And then I just realized that I make so many excuses for my behavior, just saying, well, that's Paul Jeffries. That's what he does. He's a selfish person, or he's inconsiderate, or he doesn't put stuff in his calendar because he doesn't really care. Like I just accept these things about myself. And I never challenge myself to be different, probably because I didn't do the sixth and seventh step for years. That doesn't matter. But anyways, the actually doing this and being quiet with that was actually a really profound thing. I wish I had done it a long time ago. Maybe I would have saved myself a lot of heartache. And then this idea of being willing, right? Like I didn't have much of a relationship with a higher power for quite a while in my program. This is all kind of like advanced AA for me. It took me a few years to get here. But this idea of asking to become willing as a really humbling experience for me, because like I just do things when I want to do them. I don't ask for much. And anyways, I guess it's strange to me to ask for help. It's strange for me to ask to be willing and not on Paul's time, because I want that done yesterday. But it's just been a really unique experience for me to humble myself, to just ask and say, hey, I do want to change. Whenever you see fit, like, can you just, you know, put the things in my life that will teach me the lessons to grow and to be a different person? And, you know, be careful what you ask for, because I have really gotten some gut checks recently that have been pretty heinous to my ego. And it's been pretty amazing, if I'm being honest with you, that I'm experiencing a lot of pride leveling and a lot of ego shaking that I didn't think I needed. But I actually desperately did. And I'm really, really glad that I have.
Thanks, Paul. All right, Tara.
So like at the beginning of this, it asks the questions like, were we thorough? Are we making mortar without sand? Like we're not building a foundation. And I went through each question. My sponsor said, think about this before you, right before you take your hour, think, you know, and like I said, there was like I've been through the steps, I think three or four times. And I've done this step each time. But this last time I went through the steps, she had me do a more thorough undertaking of the steps. And it was thorough. And like writing stuff down was like, And I saw me. And I hadn't seen me for years. Not that I was being a horrible person or anything. I just didn't know, you know? And so I asked each of those questions to myself. I said, okay, I did do this the right way. And then I took my hour. Like, and this was the first time that I can remember going through the steps like this happened, I don't know, maybe a year ago when I went through the steps again. And like, I remember taking my, and I literally took the hour, you know, and I literally sat nothing on, nothing. And I took the actual hour, like alone in my little room. And I was like, when I was done, and I went a little bit over, I didn't even realize what I was doing. I went a little bit over the hour. I was like, whoa, you know? And at the last part, it says, I ask God to be willing. Now, I've always had a higher power this time going through. I didn't want one. I didn't want to have anything to do with that when I came back. So I'm like, no, absolutely not. I'm not doing that. So I had to borrow my spot. She told me to borrow hers. I was like, whoa, what a concept. Mind blown. That was it. You know, so I borrowed hers for years, years. And I would say, okay, Cherise, God. And I'd start to pray for years. And then I developed my, and then this step came up the last time I went through the steps. And to God to help me to be willing. I've always been willing this time because I always said, okay. I've always said, okay, this time. Sometimes it was, okay. I really don't want to do it, but I'll do it anyway. You know, but willing to remove all the stuff. Now, stuff comes up every once in a while about me. Like, it'll come out and I'll see it and I'll be like, oh, man, you know. And stuff has come up recently that I've seen. And I've asked God, I said, you know what? Like, I see this stuff and I'm aware. And I see the character defects. And I see the things that are going on with me. I see that. Help me to be willing to change, you know. And I have. And it's not the easiest thing I've gone through, let me tell you. Like, there have been some hits. And I just pray. And I get through them one by one. But I'm always willing. I ask God for the willingness. Because some of these things, like I want to hold on to, they make me me. Mm? They make Tara into what Tara is. I want to get rid of that stuff. But I'm willing. I ask God, you know, and so far he has. And there's still stuff that's going on. You know, there's still stuff with me that I need to work on. And I'll ask each day to help God, for God to help, you know, and I am today. That's a miracle.
Thanks, Tara. All right, our last section for the night. When ready, we say something like this. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of usefulness to you and my fellow. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. We have then completed step 7. Okay, Paul.
Hey guys, can you hear me okay? My internet's kind of being a little wonky. I have no idea what's happening, but I'm going to go ahead and share anyways.
Yeah, we can. You're good.
Yeah, man. So, okay, cool. So I had this idea that this was kind of like a one and done thing. I always think that the steps are just, oh, I'm going to do the step and then I'll be done. That is not at all what has happened in my life. And it's just so silly. I don't know what that is, but I just think, you know, I'll do the step. It'll be good. I'll be fixed. I'll be saved. And one of the things that really stood out to me at first was, you know, my first sponsor was like, hey man, why don't you just pray to have the things removed from you that stop you from being able to effectively help other people in this program? So what did that look like? I'm very selfish and don't really want to take people's calls. So I double tap them on my phone all the time and send them straight to voicemail because Paul's a busy guy. Why don't you just start answering the phone, Paul? Oh, okay. So I start making time for other people. You know, my kids, when they ask me to do something with them, I don't say I'm busy. If I can do it, I say, okay. I just say, okay. I say yes to people when they need my help. I say yes to people when they ask if I'd like to do something. I don't know about you guys, but I have an agenda that I need to get done in a day. And if that shit doesn't get done, my day is ruined. You might as well just stay clear of the path of the wrath of Paul because I had stuff to do. I'm able to let that stuff go and to just be like, you know what? Maybe the yard doesn't need to be cut for a third time this week. It's going to be okay, Paul. Like, it's going to be okay. So I had this pretty profound experience early on that allowed me to be open. And one of the things that, you know, I don't know if it's cliche to talk about this, but, or not cliche, but taboo. I did this thing recently with my sponsor, which is Drop the Rock. And I won't go into a whole bunch of details about it because it doesn't really matter. But I had this experience with that. When we were reading that book, the very first like story, the person's like, "Hey man, why don't you just knock it off?" "No, I can't. I got to hold on to this. I need this and I need it. I need it." And they're like, "Just drop it." And I had this experience with, in going through that book and going through this step with this sponsor that I was able to identify certain things that I held on to, like kind of like what Tara was saying, because I thought they were what made me me. And I realized that they were serious handicaps that were stopping me from enjoying my sober life. Can you guys imagine that? You can enjoy your sober life. We don't have to be sober, damn it. I can be sober and live a great friggin' life and love the people that I'm surrounded by, surround myself with people that I love and not spend a whole bunch of time trying to impress people I don't like. And I can actually, I can make my life what I would like it to be because I'm putting other people first and I'm being of service and loving people. What? Who knew? I just realized in the past 2 years that people have their own life. Did you guys know that? Because I didn't. I did not know that people had their own life. I thought they were just people in my life, right? Like people around me. I'm having all these realizations because I'm losing self. And that's what this program is designed to do. I'm realizing over time is that the more I work on the actions of AA, the less I think about Paul, the less I'm obsessed with myself, the more I rely on something bigger than me, the better my life is. And the more I enjoy being sober and living my life. That's friggin' cool, man. I didn't know that's what I wanted. I just came in here not wanting to drink. I didn't know I could enjoy this. I didn't know I could enjoy helping other people and considering them. Man, I got to tell you, dude, like doing this whole program and doing it on a regular, consistent basis, helping other people and putting people before myself, I'm having a whole new life. This is not hyperbole. Paul Jeffries is having a new life. And I am fired up about enjoying myself and loving people. I never did that. There was always stuff to do and always people in my way. And that guy doesn't exist anymore because of these steps. And I am so thankful for that.
Thanks, Paul. All right, Tara. Did we lose Tara? Tara, can you hear me? Oh, gosh, this bites. I think she's having a problem with her internet or device or something. All right, well, I'm going to move on back to the format. The seventh tradition. Seventh tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Morgan's been kind enough to post the Venmo and PayPal QR codes for contributing to Simple Actions. Thank you, Morgan. Okay, Morgan, if you'll go ahead and take that down. Or David, I see. Okay. All right, still no response from Tara. So moving on. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Announcements. Are there any AA-related announcements?
Aaliyah has one.
Oh, Aaliyah, okay.
And I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Aaliyah.
Hey, guys. Great meeting. My home group, AA101, we're having our gratitude breakfast January 2nd. Eating starts at 10 a.m. The speaker at 11. Also, are not going through the very back door of the hospital route. Home group members standing outside to help direct. January 2nd, gratitude breakfast, 10 a.m. eating, 11 o'clock meeting.
Thanks, Leah. Any other announcements, folks? All right. Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. And home group members, please raise your hand. Sponsorship question. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we will be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us. You can also, for a little bit of extra anonymity, you can email info@simpleactions.net. In closing, I'd like to thank the panel again for sharing, and I was hoping Tara might be able to get her connection squared away, so we could hear another word or two from her. But thank you to those that have participated tonight, and I'll unmute everyone so we can have a very disorganized and discombobulated Lord's Prayer and give everybody a chance to say thank you to Paul and Tara. But first, I will ask Morgan to read a vision for you, and I will put that up on the screen.
I'm Morgan. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Morgan.
Thank you both for a great meeting. This is a vision for you from Big Book page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation, which you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you, Morgan. You are awesome, brother. Where did that format go? Went somewhere. Okay. Well, awesome. I'm going to ask everybody to unmute, and we can finish up with the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to check the chat in case there is a Tara. No.
Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are.
I am so sorry. My computer totally froze.
No problem. Glad you were able to get back on with us. All right. Everybody ready? Our Father.
Our Father.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. Woohoo!
I am so.